Vav Tevis, Wednesday the 19th of December, Rabbi Heschel Hager, Halachas of Web Commerce, Part 2.
A few months ago in Parshas Pinchas, we discussed some halachas related to web commerce, auctions on Shabbos, kinyonim that start before Shabbos and end on Shabbos, or kinyonim that start before and after. We spoke about eBay, problems of bidding on Shabbos. We spoke about ordering things that arrive on Shabbos, or sending out things on Shabbos. We spoke about ordering a chometz on Pesach for after Pesach, which I'm sure will carry on in some halachas to do with Chodesh Mishpat related to web commerce. The first thing that comes to mind, when someone installs a program, is one nichshel in the sosom nasato be'emuna. Usually the first thing that happens, a box comes up, I accept terms and conditions, I've read all the notes and I accept. Nobody reads the notes. If you'd been asked, you'd say, I haven't read it, but I accept whatever it says there. But what does that say? I have read the terms and conditions and I've accepted. Well, the question is ksiva kedibah? Are you allowed to lie? No. Can you lie in writing? We know that one of the most famous shuvos in Rabbi Akiva Eiger, written by his uncle on the day of his chasana, to him, discussing this sugi of ksiva kedibah, where he discusses with someone writes the day of Sfiras Oymer, has he been Yotze? Can he now count with the bracha even though he's written it? Is Ksiva Kedibur? Do we consider this to Machshava Shebelev? Or is this a Masa? He discusses in the Shulchan Aruch Narachan, we paskin, if you write the Torah, you have to make Birchas HaTorah, even though you're not saying anything, Ksiva Kedibur. But there, Be'emes, when you write down the Torah, you can be mekayim the Torah in its best form. Vishinantam levanecho can be very well done by writing down. So that could be the real way of learning Torah, by writing down. That wouldn't be a raya of ksiva kedibah. If he talks about all the sofrim, the right Shem Havaya, if we say ksiva kedibah, you mustn't say the Shem Havaya, Yudke Vovke, you mustn't pronounce it. So how would the sofer be able to write Yudke Vovke in Sefer Torah? The Chorim discuss writing your father's name. Ksiva kedibah is a big sugya. I found the sefer Daf al Daf Bava Basra, not Tzadik Aleph. First, he brings from Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita that Ksiva Kedibur wouldn't apply to Sheker, because the point is mirma, cheating someone. If you write something down for yourself, there's no Sheker involved. You're not showing it to anyone, so that wouldn't fall in the category of Midvah Sheker Terchok. Though Tosis there in the Tzadik Gavad on the Gemara is Machloikis Remei Nechachomim Shtah Sheyesh Beribis. When someone wrote a Shtah Halvo, and in the Shtah it's written he promised to pay back more than he borrowed, it's the Machloikis Remei Nechachomim. Remei says the whole Shtah is possible. We give him a Knas, he can't even ask back for the Keren. And the Chachomim say, Goyves HaKeren Ve'ina Goyves HaRibis. The Keren is okay, the Ribis, Api Alokha Api Torah, you cannot ask for, but the Keren is okay. So Tosis asks, the Gemara in Ezer Neshach says, who is Oyven Issa Ribis? The Malve, the Loive, the Urav, and the Edom as well. Edom who sign a Shtah Sheyesh BeRibis are also Oyven on the Lav of Lesesim and Olav Neshach. They're also included in this Lav. If so, ask Tosis, the Edom that signed the Shtah Apostolidus. They've been over love by signing this document, they've been over love. How could the Shtar Bechlal work according to the Chachom? How could we accept such a Shtar according to the Chachom to be Goyver, the actual Keren, never mind the rivers? The whole Shtar is invalid. The Edom Apostolidum. They're signing this document which includes rivers in this document. So Tosis says, Tosis answers, most times the Edom don't know that they're included in the love, and that's why they're not over, they think it doesn't apply to them. And therefore, the tzad the eidim, the shtar wouldn't be possible. Tosis carries on, and he talks about a shtar mugdim. where someone writes a shtar and he predates it, which causes problems, because when a Balchov wants to get his money back, he'll come and take from Rekuchas people who already, who genuinely bought Nechosim or had money from the lender, which they're entitled to. But since the shtar has a predate, predated, they will now extract money from people who had taken money before the Tavor took place. So we have a similar machlokes remain of Chachom, whether the shtar is kosher or not. So Tosis asks the same kasha, how could such a shtar be kosher? The Edim have signed their name to something on document which is not true. The shtar is dated wrongly. That's sheker. How could we bechlal be machshir such a shtar if the shtar is, we take the shtar out one day, and on that basis he'll be entitled to his money. But the mass of the shtar is possible because the Edim have chasmed the shekel. That's Toys' discussion. Toys answers similarly that a case they didn't realize the date, they didn't work out the years, they didn't know they're doing something wrong. But the master, we see from Toysus, that by them signing the shtar, that's when the shekel has happened. Even though the master, it's only when the document is presented sometime later, that's when the shekel goes into effect. That's when it's going to hurt us. But Toysus seems to say that at the moment the Edim signed that shtar, they've done something wrong. Even though nobody cares or doesn't interest anyone or doesn't affect anyone at that moment, nevertheless, it's sheker. Al kaporim, that's clear, or seems to be clear, that if it doesn't affect anyone and never will affect anyone, there wouldn't be a problem of ticking that box, even though it's sheker. I heard, maybe someone would know, that even a pidina de malchusa, if there's some fine print which is very strange, which says, I agree now to pay £10,000 in the terms and conditions, which are, if you scroll down, you'd find that, you wouldn't be mechoyev apidin din de mechusa to pay that if it's something strange or extraordinary or wouldn't fit the bill. The MSL Pidin Torah, we also find something similar. I find Shulchan Aruch. The Beselso brings an interesting Chuvah Sarajbo. There was a chosen who, he divorced his wife, eventually, and she wanted this ksuba. So he said, well, I signed the document, or the Edim signed the document, I didn't know what it said there, I had no clue. Like most chassanim don't really understand every word of the ksuba, so he wanted to play, innocent. He doesn't know what's going on. They didn't, nobody told him, he thought it was a part of the ceremony, so, says the Rashba, that they asked Rabbeinu Meir, the Maram Rotenburg, and he agreed. He accepts if the person didn't understand what he was signing or what he agreed to, then he should be put off from his chiyuvah. The Rashba argues, and he says, then every amoras, every lady who signs a document can claim, I don't know what says that. So it can't be. That's what the Rashba says. The Maram Rotenburg passing that way. The more passings, there's no such thing. You can't pretend I didn't know what it said. If you sign the document, you, as Rashba says, he zicha asked the Edim told him about what it says in the shtar. A person doesn't sign blindly, and it's clear that he did know b'shas master what it says in the shtar. But it seems to be from that remor that if it's genuinely unclear what it says in the shtar, and a person, Anan Sahada never knew what it said in Neshtar, he would have a tana to say, I'm not mischaiv by signing something or writing something which I didn't realize was there. Going to another subject of using something without permission. There are some websites that provide services. They do services for you, they send faxes for you, or they fill in words for you, and you're expected to pay for the service. The question is one allowed to, if one can, crack the code and use those services without paying for them? In Chosh Mishpat, there's a shal of someone hador b'chutz ha'chaveira shalei b'rishos, shalei medata. If the person says, get out of my property, and he didn't get out, then he has to pay up what he used. If the person wasn't told to get out, and he came in, he used someone's house, someone's premises, if that place is not made to rent out, with someone's private house, and he slept there overnight, nobody told him to get out, even if this person usually pays for his lodgings, but nobody told him to get out, he's put it to pay. The Ramos says that's only after it happened. But obviously a person can stop anyone from being a squatter in his house and saying, what do you care if I sleep in your empty property? If he's told beforehand, I do not let you, then obviously he's not allowed to go in, and if he does, he's a gamav. The Ramos says, so we have a klal in Shas, koifin amidus sodom. If you won't lose out, then we can actually force you to be mahan another yid. So why would that not apply here? So the Ramos says, koifin amidus sodom is only where I can get no benefit. But here, if someone's in my empty property or in my house, I could charge him for that. The fact that I don't want to charge him and don't want him doesn't allow that person to use this koifin amidus sodom to allow him to use my property. If I wouldn't be able to charge him, I wouldn't be able to have any hanor whatsoever, then he could say koifin amidus sodom. But in a case, a place where I could expect some money, then I'm entitled to stop him, even though I don't need his money, I don't want you, and he's not allowed to enter my premises. Now, if you think about it, these websites are the private property of the people who they belong to. They rent them, they rent the space, they pay for it. The choreth should be a problem, even before you use the services, if you go into someone's site without permission, you're entering someone's private chutzah, shelo vishus. He wants money for it. This is avida lagra, it's made for money. The choreth should be a bit of a problem. After last year, someone called me up and asked me, Ashala, he had a photographer come around to his house, and he took, made a setting, he took 100 photos, and you then pay for, if you want 20 photos or 25 photos, you pay for the photos you want. Now, he is able to enter this website, crack the code, and download all the photos that were taken. Can he do that? What do you say, Mr. Chesner? Absolutely not. Okay. Okay, let's go to the Torah. Now, well, the first thing is, he mustn't be mazik, the person who came, who worked for him. So let's assume he paid for the setting, and he took the normal amount, 25 photos, 30 photos, which is the normal person, which he would have taken, and he would never have taken more than that. He would pay for that, and Shulman Yisrael. Bemis, these photos he has already, he could go and copy. He can make the same, not as good as yours, but he would be able to do some good copies. The question is, those other 70 photos, which he would never have bought, and genuinely never have bought, can he now take them, just to keep them on his computer, instead of them lying on your computer, can they lie on his computer without developing them? He's not mechasim mumun for you, for the photographer. No one's losing out. Is he stealing something or not? Well, lechoyer should be the same problem of entering someone's domain without permission. He's nichnas lechusach avesh levishus. He's, by entering, he's already in breach of loisig noivu. We'll talk about Jewish halachas.
Most websites are not Jewish. Does it make a difference?
Well, the question is, after one's done that, but after he's done that, as one is lechayr not such a problem. The question is, can he do that lechatchila? That's a shal. Is he allowed to break into someone's website and do what he wants there? Okay, but this time walking into someone. As I'm talking about here, walking into someone else's reshus. Lechayr by going to someone's website, you're entering someone's reshus which he paid for, and it's mamash his private property. Go on to another issue of Duva Sha'ina Bishusai. One cannot make a Kenyan and Duva Shalai Bula Oilam. something which is non-existent, you cannot buy or sell. Similar to that is the Dovah Sheinu B'Shusay. It's Bola Olam. It's around. It is physically here, but it's not yet in your property. I cannot sell a Pialucha or make a Kinyan something I don't have yet. A person comes and says, I will buy the Shaw, I will sell it to you. That means I cannot make a Kinyan on something which is not a Marishus yet. A fisherman can't say, you know what, pay me now, make a Kinyan for all the fish that I will catch today. Even more than that, even if you, someone says, I want to sell the Arusha that's coming my way. It's going to come his way one day. Definitely will. But it's Dovah Sheinu B'Shusay. It's not there yet. He hasn't got it, so he cannot sell it. Even if it's a specific item. He's pointing to this ox. I'm about to buy this shop, and I'm selling it to you before I buy it. It doesn't work. You cannot buy something you don't have. The question is, most times, a lot of times, anyway, when you buy something online, the stockist doesn't have it yet. He buys it from somewhere else, and he then sells it on to you. Is that a problem of Dovah Sheinu B'Shusay, which the Kenyan is not Chal? Well, if he's prepared to sell it to find a oil. The question is, can any of the tzodim be choizer al pi halacha before he actually receives it? Because it's a Dovah Sheinu B'Shusay, it was not a proper Kenyan. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says that if the moicha, let's talk about the moicha first, the person selling it, if he goes taka, and he spends effort, time and money, to acquire this item he promised to deliver, then mitzav the moicha, he cannot be choizer. Because since he wants to be trusted, al emunusahi mucha, that means he is selling his trust. And therefore, if he actually carries on and gets hold of this item, the moicha mitzidoi cannot be choiz anymore. Even though at the time of Kenyan, it was a dovah she'eino b'shusay, it was not on his property, but it's a promise that he promised to deliver, and that promise is enough to make him liable, and he cannot be choizer on the Kenyan he has done. The question the Achorim discusses is the lekeach. The person who bought the item, if he knew that the person, the seller, doesn't have it yet, is he bound by anything to this Kenyan which is made of something which is non-existent? He's not doing any pula. He agreed to buy something which is eino b'shus, which was not in the moichas reshus. But he didn't actually spend time and effort to get that item. So there's no kinyan on his tzad. The question is it a form of shlichus? Has he sent someone to do something for him? And then he would be mischai because he has appointed a shlich to get something for him. Or we say, no, since this is a mecha, and a mecha doesn't apply where it's eino b'shusay, so it's not mitzad shlichus, it's a sale. And therefore it wouldn't work, and lekeach can be choizer if the item was not in the reshus of the moicha b'shas the kinyan. That's the halacha. Lemaase, the Achrayim discuss, if the minhag olam is to trade with dvorim she'eino b'shusay, which in many cases is, you do buy and sell things which are not in the reshus of the moicha b'shas the kinyan, is there's a kinyan in Chazal called Situmta, which covers many types of kinyanim which are not mentioned in Chazal, like mazal avrucha, or handshakes, or other types of kinyanim which are not kinyanim mentioned in Chazal, but since they are the minhag ha-sochrim, accepted terms of mekach ha-memke, therefore they are binding, they are proper kinyanim, and if the minhag would be to buy and sell dvorim she'eino b'shusay, then that would also be in the klal of this kinyan setumta, which would bind both the lekeach and the moicha to keep the word, even though be'emes api chazal it wouldn't work. That's according to some shittas. Some shittas argue, and they say kinyan setumta, these kinyonim, the minhag ha-sochrim, which accept different types of kinyonim not mentioned chazal, would only apply to items which are here. A dovah shaloi bo le'olam is a kinyan, is nothing. It's a kinyan on air. And even if people would trade that way, you would be able to be choizer because the kinyan hasn't been chal. There's no type of kinyan on a dovah shaloi b'olam. So we're asking whether the minhag olam would work even on a kinyan on a dovah shaloi b'olam. Now, interesting enough, this machlokes is based on a machlokes reshoinim in Hilchos Mila in Yerideya, where the Bais Yosef brings Machlokes Rishonim, someone promises Sandakos or Moilshaft when the child hasn't been born yet. Ishtim Abaris, and now he's going to ultrasound, but he's Baal Ruch HaKodesh, and he knows that it's Ben Zucha, and he is Machabat someone Sandakos, and apparently that was the minig then, it was common. So the Machlokes Rishonim there, if that works. And Besosa brings, Afagav the Enu Dumaka Dovishloi Bo'al Oilam. So how could you promise to the blood hasn't been born yet? Okay. So the Besosa brings, Afagav the Enu Dumaka Dovishloi Bo'al Oilam. Nevertheless, since the minig is, as B'nai Udam Noidrim B'naiim Zelezeh, you promise, I'll give you some of the kulas, he'll give back to me when you have a child. In 3 years' time, you'll give me back some of the kulas. So Dovishloi Bo'al Oilam. I give you, you give me. It depends how you decorate Paris the word. So, but this is Paris. If the Paris haven't grown yet, so this is the real. I'll give you some of the course, you give me some of the course. Fine. It's how it shouldn't work. Says the Bishas, it brings to the Shonim. In. People are Mekayim this type of promise. Gam Ketzruch Lekayim. And he brings this high Sittum to the Gemara in Bamutzi, which uses the Sittum to the King of Sochem, that would apply even to a Dovash Loi V'Loilam. Then he brings Miya Ben Echiloime, the Imam Masna Ba'oidam Aberes Einoklum. Again, Dav Dovash Loi V'Loilam. Sittum to works, something which is around, then you can play around different types of accepted Kinyonim. Something which is non existent, there's nothing, no Kinyon to work with, Bechlaat. So loy mutzina shiyol ben haminig lachshiv kekinan gomer. It's a good promise, but it's not a kinan gomer. So machloekes Rishonim already whether this dovash lebo oilam can work with any type of kinan or not. Someone asked me yesterday a question whether apyalocha you're not allowed to go into a shop knowingly you're not going to buy anything there. You just want to inquire about the prices because you want to buy elsewhere. You just want to find out the actual value of a price. Are you allowed to do that on the internet and search for different prices and search about items and then buy elsewhere? That's clear. If you go into a shop or a website and you're looking around for the best price, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to ask for the cheapest price. You go around knocking on all the shops and finding out who's the best, who has the best offer. That's no problem. Because the what would be the problem of that? The problem is, when you walk into someone's shop and he's expecting or hoping for a sale, to make a sale, by you going there, al das not to buy, you're hurting his feelings. If you, there's a chance you'd buy there, there's no problem. That's the derech mekachemenka. But if you generally do not want to buy, there'll be a problem. That wouldn't apply on the website where nobody's hurt, nobody knows who's coming, who's going, and why they're coming for. There's no nidnud isabachal to check and to do all sorts of searches to find what you want.
Can you go for John Lewis and have a look at camera and then buy it on the one?
Guys,
the department store, it looks all the
camera store. I don't know if a shach leisoin which is a misa when the salesperson only doesn't know. The Ramos says leisoin which is a misa is only known to Yirei Hashem, only Shem Shabbos. That's the Ramos says Yirei Hashem is a misa. This love of hurting someone's feeling. Another one. Short point. The issa of viruses. Now, obviously no one sends viruses, doesn't apply to us. The question is, when someone sticks a USB in someone else's computer, a virus-infected device, and it causes damage to someone else's kelim, are you chayv or not? The closest of the Dalad Ovis Nezikin is Eish, which is a mazik, which is comes out of your rishus, out of your property, into someone else's property. And the Gemara says, Eish is koyach acham urav boy. It's not something which you do yourself. You need help. The ruach is melabo eish, the ruach brings the wind. Same thing here, the electricity, the phone line, whatever, brings this koyach eish and destroys someone else's property. Your meschayev for all nezikim you cause by installing this virus. And we know nezikim, your meschayev, a show gig, or there's no, I didn't know, I didn't intend. Eish is not a groma. Eish is a mazik. A koyach mazik. If you install, you stick in a device which is affected to someone else's kalin, you mazik that. That's not a groma. You are putting your koyach eish in there. Even if you receive it from someone, you have to look after your fire. If a gachlas, if you light yourself, or if you carry over someone else's lit fire, it would be the same thing. If you're right, it's a never-ending process. The person is the schaiv for causing damage. The difference would be whether it's odom amazik or eish amazik is legabe the chamish advorim, which nezik tarif shavus boishes don't apply to the dalat of zikin, only to odom amazik, which would mean you only for direct tzeikas, what you cause actual damage physically to this computer. But if you lost work or other sheves or other types of damages which occurred through this hezek, then it's, since it's age, it's not, you wouldn't consider it odom mamazik, therefore he wouldn't mischayev only for the hezek mamish which he has done.